No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting, confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. With the new Ace line, looking effortlessly sophisticated this fall is easy and comfortable. Stock up on crazy cozy sweatpants, shorts, and sweatshirts that elevate your style. They even have blazers, if you're lucky enough to grab one while they're in stock. Mack Weldon balances classic pieces with updated details to keep you looking sharp. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made with the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code MACK25.
Welcome in to the Rockies Insider. I'm your host, Patrick Lyons, giving you a little preview of the Padres series coming up this weekend and allowing you to listen in on some great conversations, some nice audio from inside the clubhouse, Chase Dolander's pre- and post-game scrum, Zach Veen talking about what his debut was like on Tuesday night, and a pair of front office members for the Rockies discussing Zach Veen, his journey, and everyone that contributed to that path to the majors. But Friday night, we've got Padres-Rockies at Petco Park, 7:40, a late one, but it's Friday night. It's not a school night. You'll be all right. Rockies are heading to California at a pretty bad time. You got three against the Padres, three against the Dodgers before coming back home for three against the Nationals, going back out for three against the Royals, and then they come home against the Reds, Atlanta. They'll have the 30th anniversary celebration on Saturday, April 26th. So after this weekend, the Rockies will be back home the next two weekends. So Padres, Dodgers, tough as the Rockies just barely avoided sweeps with wins in Game 3 against the A's and Brewers. I think that might be the case again on Sunday. I'll break that down in just a second. Padres have the MLB's best record at 10-3 right now. Padres 7-0 at home this season. Wow. Herman Marquez matched up against Nick Pivetta with his 1-1, 2.70 ERA. So not as good, but still right in the same general area as Marquez and his 2.45 ERA. Now Marquez in 16 starts against the Padres is 10-3. He's got a 4.38 ERA, but at Petco Park, he's been even better than Coors Field. No surprise. He's 6-2 with a 3.64 ERA over 10 games, 9 starts in San Diego. So that's good, but that means the offense has to be better than what Marquez is allowing. That remains to be seen as a winning solution for the Rockies. Saturday, 6:40 p.m. Mark that one down if you're going to watch only one game from this series, or at least one night game. Make it that one because you are going to get Chase Dolander in his first start on the road, second overall start for the Rockies. He goes against lefty Kyle Hart with his 11.12 ERA. He's much better than that. It'll be interesting to see if maybe the bats can respond and give some support to Dolander, which they were able to do in the first inning last Sunday in Dolander's debut after he gave up two runs in the first inning. Doyle had that leadoff home run. So maybe the young guy can provide some spark and some inspiration for the rest of the team. That could be a rallying point for part of this season. We'll see. And finally, Sunday, 2:10 p.m., Kyle Freeland against Michael King. One bright side as to why Sunday could be the day where if the Rockies lose the first two, why are they going to win on Sunday? Well, San Diego is 2-3 against lefties. They haven't lost a game against a righty, but they've lost more than they've won against left-handed starters. So we'll see what ends up coming to fruition there. But I want to get you to listen in on what the conversation was like with Chase Dolander on Saturday in the dugout. This young man, 23 years old, he was at the University of Tennessee less than 2 years ago. Talk about a quick rise to the majors. Dude had 25 starts in the minor leagues. He didn't play professionally in 2023 when he was drafted. They shut him down because of the strain that a lot of Division I starting pitchers can get put on them by their teams, especially if they're trying to make a run to the College World Series in Omaha. So shut down in 2023, makes 24 starts in 2024, the one down in Albuquerque, and then boom, he's immediately up. So he talks about, you know, any disappointment that he might have had for not making the opening day roster. He talks about, you know, some of the things that he was trying to work on down in Albuquerque and, you know, the first people that he called when he got that promotion. And a big spoiler, which again, if you're not following me on social media, that's fine. That might not be your thing to go on Twitter or Blue Sky. That's quite all right. It's one of the reasons why you might want to listen to this, because funny story about his promotion to the majors. Before they actually told him, there was a bit of a spoiling that hey, you're going to Denver, piece of news that his coaches should have been telling him. He found out in a different way. So funny, maybe cringy. Listen to that and many more. Chase Dolander, Saturday, one day before he was going to make his major league debut.
I think it helps a lot. Obviously, there's a lot of players in the big leagues that play in the SEC. So, you know, a lot of good, really good competition in the SEC that prepares you not only for the minor leagues, but the major leagues, like you said. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like it prepared me a lot. There's a lot of guys on these rosters that I've played against in college. So excited to face those guys again, but, you know, excited to face everybody else as well.
And first calls you made after you stepped out of that office yesterday, finding the news, what was it like telling your family and first calls?
My first calls was my mom and my stepdad. They both started crying. It was very emotional, very exciting, just knowing that all the work and stuff is starting to pay off. Obviously, still have a long way to go and still a lot of work to do, which I'm excited about. But just knowing that it's starting to pay off a little bit was awesome. And then called my girlfriend after that, and she started crying as well. So really good moments that I've had with some close relatives and some of the best.
Who all was able to make the trip out here to be here for tomorrow?
So my mom and stepdad are here, girlfriend's here, and then my best friend from back home is here. So I'm excited to have all of them out here, and hopefully it'll be a good time.
At the end of spring training, did you sit back and think, it may not be long? What was your thought when you went down to Albuquerque?
Yeah, I mean, I always hoped it wouldn't be long. Didn't think it would be quite this quick, but I'm ready for it. I thought I was ready in spring training. Obviously, they have plans for other things like I can't control. But, you know, like I said, I'm ready to go, and it's going to be a lot of fun to be able to pitch against these guys.
After the news last night, were we able to sleep? What was that situation like?
I actually slept pretty well, which I was kind of surprised about. But, I slept well. My mind was racing just a little bit, but I was able to turn it off when it came down to it, which I was excited about. But, I think tonight might be a little bit different. Hopefully not, but we'll see.
Yeah, happy to see the forecast for tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, my opinion on that is, you know, all pitchers, they got to pitch in it, so no reason to complain about it. Obviously, you know, you want favorable weather, but like tomorrow's favorable, so I'm excited.
How do you go out tomorrow and not put too much expectations on yourself and play the way you want to play?
Just focus on execution. This is what it comes down to. As a pitcher, you know, there's very little that you can control, and execution is one of them. So, you know, just focus on that and be able to keep going.
What's the scouting report you received on Coors Field?
Coors Field, I mean, obviously, like everybody knows, I think, ball flies here. Stuff doesn't move as much. But, you know, I think it's a challenge and I'm ready for it.
As a little kid in the backyard growing up, is this the dream you had? And what's it feel like to be in that part of your life right now?
It's definitely a dream. Definitely a dream come true for sure. But, you know, as you conquer more dreams, you make new ones. And so I'm excited to start conquering those new ones and see what it takes me.
What's the best big league advice you've gotten so far?
To have fun is definitely the best I've received. You know, just enjoy it, embrace it, enjoy the moment, knowing that, you know, you probably have a little bit extra juice tomorrow, but just being able to, you know, embrace it, enjoy it, and just have fun and go out there and do what I do.
In those Cactus League starts, where did you think you made the most progress from the first start to the last start?
From the first start to last, I thought my first start was really good. The ones in between kind of struggled a little bit, but I honed it back in. You know, things that I thought I did really well was just compete and get myself in the zone better than I have in the past, which is a huge, I mean, obviously, like I've always said, you know, if you're not in the zone, it's going to be really hard for you to pitch. So just being able to be in zone and have all my stuff in the zone is going to be huge for me.
Was there a moment during spring training where you thought, oh, I might be ready?
Yeah, for sure. Not really one exact moment. I thought going into it, I had a really good chance. And as I kept going and I kept learning and kept figuring things out, I was like, all right, you know, that's another thing I've learned. That's another thing I've learned. You know, every outing that I go out there is an opportunity to learn. You know, fail or win, it's always, you can always learn something from it. So that's just kind of the way I take it.
One of the more veteran areas of this team is the starting rotation. Is there anybody in that clubhouse that you really latched onto during spring that you feel closest with walking in here?
Honestly, we have such a good clubhouse in there. It's hard not to just pick everybody. But, you know, one person that I really lean on was Feltner. You know, he's helped me a lot with a lot of different things. And then, you know, when Herman and Sensatello were both rehabbing, I got to see both of them and just ask them questions, pick their brains, and kind of see what their thought process is on different things. So, and then Freeland, you know, he's definitely a vet, and he's given me some really good advice. There's not a single person in there that I think is a bad person at all. So it's really nice to be able to go to those guys and have that, you know, security.
When you got word that you were going to get optioned to Albuquerque, was there any conversation that, you know, that stay might not be very long?
No, not really. They didn't really give me a timeline or anything like that, any indication of, you know, how long it was going to be. But, you know, in my head, I'm confident in myself, so I was like, it's not going to be long. But like I said, I didn't think it was going to be this quick. But here we are, and I'm ready to go.
When you got that start last Sunday in Sacramento, did you think, all right, well, this is technically a big league ballpark. Maybe my next start will be in a real one.
Yeah, for sure. You know, like I said, I didn't think it was going to be this quick. So, yeah, I mean, that is a big league ballpark right now, so it was awesome to be able to pitch in there and you know, get in front of some fans.
The Rockies' Tennessee pipeline kind of goes deep a little bit. Have you talked to some of the other Tennessee players, Halverson, Beck?
Oh, yeah. I was roommates with Halverson in spring training, and then obviously Beck, and then Todd Helton, too. Todd texted me yesterday and congratulated me and said he was extended his stay so he could watch me pitch, which I thought was really cool. I'm excited to see him and, you know, give him a hug and stuff like that. But, you know, all those guys have really good advice to give me, and I'm excited to be able to learn from them.
Does number 32 mean anything to you after you saw it?
Not at all. Tiny, actually, our clubby, came up to me and asked me, you know, what do you want? I said, I have no idea. I don't have any particular number that I use. I've used a whole bunch of different numbers throughout the years, but 32 is a good number, so I'm excited.
What did it feel like when you saw it, though, with your name on the back?
It was awesome. I feel like that's when it really became real. You know, getting the call on stuff, it just didn't feel real. Obviously, you know, there's a lot of excitement and stuff, but as soon as I came in the clubhouse and saw my name and the number and stuff, it was like, wow, you know, this is it, let's go.
You were drafted in 23. Does this feel like fast for you?
Not really. I feel like the off-season stuff went pretty fast, but the seasons and stuff, you know, just being able to stay present and embrace every moment has been huge for me. I think that, you know, in relative terms, it is quick, but I think I'm ready. I know I'm ready, and I'm ready to go.
Have you thought about what today's game might look like between, you know, getting to know your teammates, hanging out with them, but also getting an early scouting report on this team you're going to face tomorrow?
Yeah, with getting to know my teammates, I got to know them in spring training pretty well, so I feel like I have a good rundown on what they're like. But in terms of scouting report, yeah, I think it's going to be awesome to be able to watch these guys, especially up close, and kind of see for swings and things like that. So, yeah, I'm definitely excited.
One of the things about Albuquerque is you can kind of accustom yourself to pitching at altitude, but, you know, you skip that level. But
yeah,
how much are you looking forward to seeing your breaking stuff here?
Looking forward to it, for sure. I threw a couple bullpens in Albuquerque to kind of get a feel for it. I feel like I have it pretty down. You know, it's obviously different when you get in game. You know, stuff can happen, and I'm excited. Like I said, it's just all about execution and just being able to go out there and play your stuff in the zone and know that your stuff plays.
At what point in the office yesterday did you realize what was going on? Did you see, like, the phone set up or anything, or when did it kind of,
so,
did you get a confused?
There's a funny story about that. Right before I got called into the office, I got a text from the hotel saying, hey, we're looking forward to welcoming your stay. And I was like, oh, well, like, I started meeting, my heart dropped, and I was like, what's going on? And then I walk in, and thankfully our pitching coach, Mahalik, played it off really well and was like, hey, let's just go over the scouting report. It was like, all right, sounds good. And I looked up, and I saw the camera, and I was like, is this happening right now? And then it happened. So, yeah, it was pretty funny, though.
Do you have an idea what's coming? I mean, you pitched last on Sunday, and it's been quite a few days.
Yeah, I had no idea it was coming. It's awesome, though. Like I said, I'm excited. I'm ready to go.
What was the reaction from some of your teammates on the isotopes?
They were all excited for me. You know, I was mad I didn't get to know them anymore, but obviously, like, it's a circumstance that you look forward to your whole life. So, yeah, they were very excited for me, and I'm excited to see some of them come up this year.
Well, Chase ended up pitching really well. Should be proud of his performance in what I would call a Coors Field quality start. 5 innings, gives up 4 runs. Sure, 6 innings with 3 runs is a true quality start, but a Coors Field, you will take that, especially from a young guy who walked only 1. It was a 4-pitch walk, oddly enough, and struck out 6. So there's a lot of promise there for this young man. Here he is talking about that performance in his major league debut against the A's.
How would you describe the energy coming out of the dugout for your major league debut?
It's definitely exciting. I was pumped up. Just tried my best to keep it kind of low-key a little bit, but you know, at times you kind of let it eat, and once I got settled, it was really, really fun.
It was a game that needed the resilience, right? Happens. 2-run homer in your first inning of work.
Yeah.
How did you not let that bring you down?
You know, it just goes back to the routines that I've been working on this whole time, and, you know, everything that I've done to get myself to this point. You know, just being able to breathe through it and slow the game down, I feel like, was huge. And, you know, just, you know, recognize when I'm in that red light kind of state and then get back to the green light.
I saw you
like taking a slow walk out to center field like before the game started and just kind of soaking it all in. What was that like before you'd even thrown a pitch, just getting to walk out there knowing this was your day?
No, it was awesome. I do that everywhere. I go out to center field and I say a little prayer and, you know, just getting ready for the game. You know, it just kind of brings me to ease and knowing that God's got me and, you know, just keep going. Yeah.
How did you feel pregame in the clubhouse? Because I saw you walking around with a smile on your face.
Yeah.
And is that normally the preparation, or is it a little something extra today?
No, I mean, I try and keep it loose up until I get on the field. You know, in my experience, if I'm too, you know, focused too early, I get tired during the game. So just kept trying to keep it loose and keep it relaxed as I'm, you know, warming up inside, and then once I go out there, it's business.
In the fourth inning,
one outing and one win. How does that feel?
Sorry?
You have one outing and one win.
Feels awesome. You know, I have to thank the guys behind me. They did a great job today. I have to thank, you know, the bats. They were awesome today. They really did their jobs, and, you know, it just made my job easier.
In the fourth inning, they had that conference with you out there, and then after that you get the strikeouts. But not only that, you nearly touched 99 on the gun a couple of times there. So kind of what was said, and how did that sort of help you kind of get back in the groove there?
Yeah, it was just for me to get a breather, just be able to, you know, get back in the zone. You know, but after that it was, you know, I just felt a little bit more relaxed and just did what I did.
Going back to the start.
About what was going through your mind on the first pitch and your first batter you faced there, you get one pitch, one out. But
yeah,
like going into that, what's going on in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, just getting ahead, like it's always been. Just getting ahead and get 0-1. Kind of, you got it a little bit, so it was pretty funny.
What was the most rewarding thing about your major league debut?
Probably just seeing my family, being able to have them out here. was awesome. And then on top of that, we got the win today, so that's pretty cool. The guys behind me did a great job.
A little relief to move on now to game two?
100%. Yeah, I mean, you get your feet wet. It's a good one. It's a good one to get my feet wet on. Excited to keep going.
Chase, your fastball looking like it was working well for you today. What else were you relying on?
I feel like everything was working pretty good today. Change-up, slider, and curveball all were pretty good. Missed a couple pitches, made a couple mistakes, and they took advantage of it, but other than that, felt really good.
In that put-away pitch to Monsignor, tell me about that pitch.
Yeah, it was just executed. Called fastball up, and the one before I threw up, so I was trying to get it up a little bit more. And I did exactly that, and obviously I was a little fired up about it. Left some guys out there on the bases, so it was awesome.
Thank you, guys.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Talk about efficiency of these things. 2/3 of your pitches were strikes.
Yeah.
Is that part of it? Obviously, you want to have a lower pitch count, maybe get a little deeper. But tell me about the efficiency today, or at least the attacking the strike zone.
Yeah, I mean, that's been the whole thing, right? Ever since the spring, just getting the strike zone as often as I can. Throw strike one has been huge. Just being able to do that. Was very really good for me today.
Hey, Chase, we talked a little bit yesterday. I talked to you about the course field factor, et cetera. You're out there in the heat of competition today. Did the ball behave on your breaking stuff, et cetera, like you thought it would, or is that still going to take a period of adjustments?
No, I think I did what I needed to do.
Right.
So the break
was kind of what you expected?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, obviously you're in altitude. It's not going to break as much. There's not enough, air for the ball to catch on.
But you anticipated that.
Exactly, and you just start your stuff in different places. For me, I look at a starting point. Some pitchers look at an ending point, so it just kind of depends on the pitcher.
So, Chase, we know you're a journal keeper. Can you give us a sense of what you're going to put in your journal tonight?
Yeah, so I do a well better how after every outing, and I do an execution journal. I just go through the videos and look at, keep a tally on how many things I executed during the game. Just being in the strike zone was number one. Better, I would probably say, just be locked in more often. I can't afford to make those kind of mistakes down the road. And then how, let's just work on it in the bullpen.
Who was more excited today, you or your family?
I would say my family, probably. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got a couple balls behind you on the shelf there.
Yeah.
Can you say what those are and where they're going?
Yeah, one of them was the first pitch, and the other one is the first strikeout, and they're definitely going to go back to the house and be set up somewhere.
Obviously, you dreamed about this for a long time, but was there anything today that surprised you that was maybe different than you expected about this?
Not really, no. I kind of, I do a lot of meditation. I do a lot of imagery and stuff like that, so I kind of expected a lot of things to go on. Nothing really caught me off guard.
What is the name of the mental strength coach you listen to?
Brian Kane.
Okay, was that the podcast you put on last night to kind of get ready for this?
Podcast?
Yeah, or did he tell you to?
No, I actually work with him one-on-one.
Okay.
And I have been since my junior year, and so we have a bunch of things that we go over every week. We Zoom call every week. He's out in Scottsdale, Arizona, so, when I'm there, I go to his house, and we get to work, so, yeah.
How much did it dawn on you kind of how important this is, not just for you, but for the Rockies to get out of this club, but B, kind of preview the future for this team?
No, yeah, I think it's huge. Obviously, it's not a one-man army. I got to have people behind me to be able to do this. And, I'm super grateful for all the guys that were behind me today, and I'm super grateful for everybody that's helped me get to this point. Like I said, it's not one person. It takes a team effort.
As a first-round pick, is that the attitude you have to make sure you don't put too much just on yourself?
Yeah, 100%. Baseball is not a one-person game, so you kind of have to have that team mentality.
That big surge in the bottom of the eighth, was it kind of bittersweet because Beck had gotten in the game already, Halverson was warming up, were you hoping, let's get all three in this game?
Yeah, that'd be really cool. I didn't really think about that, so you said that. But yeah, it would have been really cool to have all three volunteers in the game.
I don't even remember or not. After third or first inning, when you strike out the last hitter, you were yelling. Do you remember that?
In the first inning?
It might have been bottom of the fourth.
Maybe fourth, yeah. Fourth.
Yeah, I do remember that, yeah.
Yeah, what kind of emotion like about it?
Yeah, a little energy. I left some guys on base. Big strikeout for me. Executed my pitch, so there's a lot of things that went into that.
Did you manage to connect with Todd today?
I did. I saw him before the game, and he just told me to go have fun and enjoy it. Really happy he was able to be here.
What are your thoughts on the free tacos?
I love it. Let's get some tacos.
Do you know what that is?
We score 7 runs, right?
Yep. Yeah.
How do you spell tacos?
What do you mean? T-A-C-O-S.
Okay. Rocky's close. It's close.
Okay. They use an apostrophe.
It's a long-running joke.
Okay, yeah.
I gotcha.
He's learning. Yeah,
I was like, is this a trick question?
It is a trick question. Shifting gears to Zach Veen, caught up with Bill Schmidt and asked him about the fact that Zach Veen's path to the majors was a long one. But he's finally there, and basically he wouldn't be where he's at right now were it not for a lot of people. Yes, you got to give the man credit. You got to give any player the bulk of the plaudits you want to give him, right? But there are people along the way that get a guy to the majors. And one guy that you might not have heard about, I think I did discuss it a little bit the other night. You can watch that video over on the YouTube channel on Rocky's Insider, talking about being 12 years old and getting dropped off in middle school at home, jumping on a bike, riding 5 miles to go practice with the Spruce Creek High School varsity team that at the time consisted of future big leaguer Austin Hayes. So those are some of the really good things you might want to check out over on the YouTube side of things. But here's Bill Schmidt talking about everyone that really helped Zach Veen along the way to his path to the majors.
Well, a lot of people put a lot of work into Zach to get to this point besides Zach himself, right? You start with the scout, John Cederberg, who spent a lot of time getting to know Zach and, the cross-checkers, and then it moves into being fortunate to draft sign him, but then the player development guys, and Chris Forbes and his group, did 5 years, that first year being COVID. There was a lot of time and effort, so it's a proud moment for a lot of people.
How nice was it to see him get off to that great start in Albuquerque for the first week?
Well, there's things we talked to him about when we sent him out that we wanted to see, and he's not a finished product by any means. We're going to have a lot of work to do up here, but it's better than getting off to a slow start.
One name in the front office you may not know is Chris Forbes. Now, he's the vice president of player development, and he's done a wonderful job over the last couple of years. Nobody knows these guys better than Chris Forbes. And he talks very bluntly, right, in a way about Zach Veen that, there are going to be times in which, he might be a bit chaotic in a bad way. But then there are things that he does that are chaotic in a good way that will straight up win ball games. And that is a talent that not every young player has. You might be young and be able to contribute, be one of those guys, but to have game-changing ability is really special. And I think what you will hear, and if not, maybe we talked about this after, is that you'd almost rather a guy have that game-changing ability, both positive and negative, because you can work that negative out. You can teach patience. You can teach precision and better choices. Those things can be taught. You simply can't teach, go out there and change the game, steal bases, cause chaos out there, lay down a bunt with 2 outs and a man on base, which he did on Tuesday night. Those things you can't teach up. And that Veen has those abilities, and there's going to be those growing pains for sure. But Rockies fans have to be patient. Bud Black himself needs to be patient as well. So here's Chris Forbes talking about Zach Veen.
I asked Bill the same thing. How nice is this for the organization for a guy that drafted in 2020, got close after 2022, injuries just derailed that. But how nice is it for the team and everyone that's put in that effort to get him here?
Well, I think he's going to supply a lot of energy, and he brought that to the table. And so even though the whole thing has not been linear as you want it, but I'm hoping this adversity they went through is going to ultimately be an asset on the big league side of things. But it feels good that he earned the right to come up here. And it's nice to see he's going to play a certain style of game that at times is probably going to make me cringe, and then he's going to win a game by doing the same exact thing. So you just got to, the youthfulness and the enthusiasm and the nervous energy that I saw out of him today, you love it. You know? And he's got the luxury, obviously, having his mom and brother here, which is a huge thing for him. You know, so, I mean, I think everybody's pretty happy that, you know, he earned the right to come up, you know, and pushed it, you know. But it's good to see him healthy. It really is.
Is that the right mix of that game-changing quality where, you know, there's some guys that might not make mistakes, but they also might not change the game in a positive way? You kind of want that wildness in a sense in him, right?
He won't play conservative, that's for sure. He's going to constantly, even at the big league level, and I think his time in AAA, whether it was last year or even this year, and the staff down there, just knowing what we had to keep pushing with him, you know, the teaching. You know, AAA baseball, that, you know, there's an element of the 4A type player and some grumpy guys that can be down there, but there's also this element of guys that can flat out out baseball you. They've been around the game long enough, and, you know, I saw it in Sacramento watching the game. They picked twice on him, and his young mind is, okay, they've already used their two picks, I'm going to go. Well, they picked twice to bait him into going. And then you do a modified pitch out, and then now you got a bang bang play at second. And, you know, that's all stuff that kind of comes into play, and that's what he has to learn at the big league level, truly. Is, you know, I mean, defensively, he's got to be, you can't give extra outs here. And, you know, he's going to figure things out at the plate. But he's exciting to watch.
Lastly, the man of not very many words, Zach Veen, talking about that major league debut, the response from fans, both in the pregame, both at his debut, or rather his first plate appearance, stepping up to the plate, and after he got a hit and was down on second base following a throwing error. So here's Zach Veen following his major league debut.
How nice was it during the introductions, immediate fan response, recognizing your debut?
It was pretty special. I know the fans get after it here, but to embrace me was very cool.
Exactly. Did you bunt off a sign, or was that your own doing?
That was me, seeing the third baseman back.
Yeah, in a situation like that where there's not a lot going on offensively, is that what you're trying to do? Maybe, you know, you have that in your game to try to get things going.
Yeah, I think we got a lot of really good hitters here who I know will drive me in, so I'm just trying to get on base for them.
How often do you do that with two outs? You know, a lot of times people don't bunt with two outs.
I mean, I trust it a lot, so if it's there, I'll do it. And the next guy hits a double, it looks like I'm a genius. So.
Zach, you had a pretty noisy contingent, I think, with just 10 people here tonight, I think, something like that.
Yeah.
Could you hear them?
Yeah, I was looking for them. Hear my mom.
Before that first plate appearance, it seemed like the game slowed down for a second, and again, the fans had an opportunity to give you some applause. What was that gesture that you provided the Coors Field fans here?
I mean, that was, I don't really know how to put that into words. It was really grateful, and hope everybody here that came to the game had an awesome night.
Now that you've had this first time out, you can kind of breathe through your nose. This offense needs to get going. How eager are you to try to be one of the guys to get help get it going?
Yeah, I think that, like I said, there's a lot of really good hitters and players here, and I think once everybody gets it going and clicked, then, you know, we're going to be unbeatable. So.
How quickly did you see the overthrow?
I saw it like skim right past my body. And then I saw that I was going.
Did it skim off you? It looked like it did. I was
no, I think it was a little to the left of me. I don't really remember much.
Wasn't a lot of action in right field, but I think in the third inning, Contreras was coming around third base. He had an opportunity to come up firing at home. Did that get the juices flowing a little for you?
Yeah, it did. I really wanted to throw a ball, so it was fun.
I'm actually looking forward to playing one off the wall at some point out there tonight.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of really cool plays off the wall here, mm-hmm. So it's definitely something I can't wait to do myself.
We talked pregame about Brenton Doyle being that guy that you've known for a while. He hit a homer. He stole a base. How nice was that to see, first off? And second, is that something that you have in your game, that power-speed combo?
Yeah, of course. That's my favorite player. So to see that up and close was really cool. And I think that he's the perfect guy to lean on and see what he's doing. I'm going to try to do the same.
Zach, what will you remember most about this?
Probably, obviously, my family being here and then my first at-bat, seeing all the fans. I probably will never forget that.
Thank you all for joining me on this audio-only podcast. I may have a very special podcast on Saturday. Maybe. I might have a guest. Maybe. But if you're, again, following me on social medias, at Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB, you'll find out a little bit about that when I am able to have that guest confirmed, if you will. So check that out. That will be pregame. That might even be morning time, let's say, live over on the YouTube channel, Rockies Insider. Make sure you're subscribed so that when I do go live, you will get that notification so that you could join in on this conversation, because you might have a lot of things to say. In fact, I know you will have a lot to say during this special live edition of the Rockies Insider. And I read all the comments. That's another thing too. And if you've got other questions, I'll definitely be glad to answer those things as well. This could be one of those longer ones, like the emergency podcasts, where I'm going on and on and on for an hour because the questions keep rolling in, the new angles keep rolling in. So I'm really excited for that one. Maybe at Rockies_insider, at Patrick D. Lyons, you know how it goes. Appreciate you dropping by and giving me some wonderful momentum. But as I like to say, momentum, it can only be as good as my next show. So of course, I will talk to you then.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
We've all done it. Stock our fridge with good intentions, only to sacrifice nutrition for convenience. Keep your body and mind nourished with whole body meal shakes from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But it actually tastes delicious. Try one of Kachava's indulgent flavors today. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags. Go to kachava.com and use code FITNESS. That's KACHAVA.com, code FITNESS,